There was a time when the world was filled with enthusiasm about the things that the future promised, and it looked forward with bright anticipation to those things. But now, alas, there is a new sentiment that has settled in upon the world, so that it is really talking about the tender grace of a day that is dead, that will not come back and never be ours again. It's a very interesting and almost frightening thing to see the erosion of the world's mind as it is happening in these very days. People who once thought that anything was possible as far as human accomplishment was concerned are now beginning to suspect that they have believed lies about how to understand life in days gone by, so much so that one can easily suggest that we are moving into a time in which we will see and are in fact seeing the fulfillment of the prophetic word that says, "For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." The Bible predicts that man, before the end of time, will come to the end of his vaunted human boasts, and he will move into a period of disillusion that will be a very serious thing that will come upon the world. Therefore, we've elected to think together about this discussion under the title of Disillusion in the Last Days. Disillusion in the Last Days. The promise of the past has been that the world would get better and better and bring to pass a bright and shining utopia. That promise is fading fast in these days. How shall we consider how this remarkable time has come upon us? Why are we in the midst of concerns in the attitude of the world, in the mental state, the psyche of the nations, such as we see today? May I suggest to you that this is because the world has failed to heed the admonition of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to those brilliant Colossians in that university town. These people who were bordering on Gnosticism and who thought that human considerations, human intellect, human thought could accomplish anything. Paul wrote to them and said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." If we don't listen to a word of admonishment like that, we will move into a state of psychic depression that could be very serious indeed. May I suggest that that is what we are in the process of seeing in our world today, in these last days, disillusionment with the things in which we used to trust. Let's think of that historically for just a moment. First of all, may I suggest to you that one of the profound philosophies that has come upon our world, that has been, we could easily say, one of the engines of civilization, is what we call social Darwinism. What happened was that Charles Darwin, who, as you know, lived in the last century, he took a voyage on the Beagle in about 1829, came back with a set of views that were applied to the world's biological thinking, and Darwin suggested that everything we have originated with the simple, has grown to the complex, and it has done so by a mystical engine called natural selection, or if you please, the survival of the fittest. Well, much could be said about that, and it has been said. Darwin is one of the men who rules the world from his grave, and his views have been analyzed in many, many ways. One of the things that the world of science has discovered that it wished it hadn't discovered is that there is no such thing as natural selection. There is no such thing as the replication of acquired strengths from parents to children. But the real point by which Darwin influenced the world so profoundly was that his views, applying to the natural world, to the world of biology, were translated out by a world into the world of social thinking, so that more and more there were people in the world of education and in the world of religion and in the world of the processes that create the thinking of the world, which would be called conventional wisdom, people began to believe in what we have come to call social Darwinism. That is, that society has within itself an engine that inevitably will produce progress. It will make the world get better and better and better. And we believe this view, that is, we the people of the world, coming out of the last century. And this century was approached by what we might call historic optimism, how marvelous it will be in days to come. Suddenly, wham, came World War I. And World War I left 10 million dead on the battlefield, and the world began to wonder. It thought it saw the way out from this, the war to end all wars, and then, man, another war hit upon the world, World War II. World War II cost 20 million lives on the battlefield. It cost another 20 million civilian casualties. And the world said, is it true that things are getting better and better? Now, we have come through many years that we've told ourselves were years of peace, but we are looking more realistically, given recent developments, at the monster of ominous consequences that could come upon us, so that it's easy to say that this is not now a world of optimism, but it is a world of diffusion, in which the bright, singular dreams of a culture and of men in days gone by are turning into questions. How shall we move through the fog of instability and no answers and ambiguity that is before us? You know, broken dreams are a very serious thing. In fact, with our mind's eye, we can appreciate what it was in days gone by. People were told, especially while they were young, you live in a world filled with infinite possibilities. You live in a world in which your human talent can accomplish anything. In fact, back in 1933, they published an interesting writing called The Humanist Manifesto. And the Humanist Manifesto said, we have now come to the place where man, by his efforts, can bring to pass a bright new world. At about that time, a book was published, written by Aldous Huxley, called Brave New World, in which it was suggested that man could plan his own evolution, and he could create by design the world that was ahead. Since then, man has been doing his best to design the future, but we have now come to the place where the best laid plans of mice and men have become shattered dreams lying on the cluttered floor of society. Social Darwinism, the concept that history inevitably produces progress, that set of views has not been able to explain the reason for recurring wars bigger than ever. It has not explained the global financial crisis that could plunge everyone into bankruptcy. It hasn't been able to explain the AIDS epidemic, which has now killed 90,000 homosexual young men in America and promises to kill an equal number in this next year. It cannot explain the awful threat of nuclear war. It cannot explain why people are spending $1 trillion for implements with which to kill one another each year. So social Darwinism, while it has been a mental construct, has nothing to do with the facts of life in the midst of which we live. And when your mental construct is destroyed by the facts of life, when your bright dreams are dragged down a dark alley and dragooned into submission to some thug who beats on you, whose name is Cold Fact, when your happiest anticipations for the future are just done to death by the realities of life, watch out. That's when endemic disillusionment sets in. That's when disillusionment can become so serious that you will join the 1 million people every year in the United States who threaten to take their lives, the 350,000 who make the attempt, and the 35 to 40,000 who actually succeed in destroying themselves because their dreams were not matched by the facts. My heart goes out to disillusioned people. And may I suggest to you that disillusionment comes because people believe the wrong thing. It comes because they have established the foundation of their minds, which they think they can trust in, but it is nothing but a pack of lies. It is nothing but falsehoods. They never realize that all the world is built out of a tissue of lies, and they never found the fountainhead of the real truth. By the way, why didn't they found the fountainhead of real truth? Why did they not discover where you could get the real answers to life? Well, the reason for that is because the main source of real truth in the world, namely the world's correct religious view, was itself corrupted to death by the same influences that produced social Darwinism. we can expect this will continue in days to come. We need to talk about the religious diffusion of our time, which is an entity that promises great answers to life, but turns out to be totally empty, dry, desiccated, without value. People are pursuing false religion today in greater numbers than ever before. They have never discovered that what remains of religion in the world is empty of answers, and they therefore are going to face the coming great disillusionment, about which we need to think, because every one of us has very relevant involvement in what is now breaking in this amazing world, a future that needs to be thought of more deeply than ever. Life is infinitely perfectible. It is filled with inevitable joys in the future. It will bring to pass more wonderful things than we can imagine on a human, autonomous level. Man is going to produce the perfect society. Count on it. It will come to pass. That is the promise that is given to most of the young people of the world. In fact, that is the promise that still lives, although in thumped and beaten fashion, in the minds of many people. It is progressively being supplanted by the disillusionment that has become so common in our time, so that we need to think further about disillusion in the last days. Social Darwinism has built within the mind of man historic optimism. He tells himself that the world is getting better and better. He is so enamored of this view that he ignores the fact that the city in which he lives is turning into a jungle. The promise of his physical future is being undercut by new and strange diseases coming upon the world. The very schools in which he hopes to educate his children are turning into jungles of delinquency and heartbreak, where literally young people are being sold bulletproof clothing to go to school in these days. The evidence in the midst of which he lives belies the promise of social Darwinism. Consequently, he is developing within his mind a ever-growing anomaly, a difference between what is and what he believes to be the case. He has pursued a delusion. Disillusionment is upon him now. He's still looking for answers in the realm of religion, but alas, to a major extent, they are not there. Why is that the case? That's the case because social Darwinism, the evolutionary idea, moved into the realm of religion in the form of a German Old Testament scholar by the name of Julius Wellhausen. And Wellhausen believed first in evolution, and that's the basis with which he understood the Bible. Therefore, he said, religion is an evolutionary thing. It used to be polytheism, then it became monotheism. The state of Israel was the result of an evolutionary process. The stories about Adam and Eve are fiction. They only give us a vague mythological representation of what it was like in back the unknowable past. Wellhausen said that Christianity is nothing but the product of a kind of an intellectual evolution. Well, the final result was that he took spiritual reality out of the Bible. He took inspiration away from the sacred pages of Holy Scripture. So we had nothing left but a human book. A human book whose promises could be no more trusted than the promises of the comic pages. So people looked at the Bible, disillusioned with its promises. They put it aside and they turned to humanism. They met in churches and they said, every day and in every way we are getting better and better. And then they walked out into the streets to be mugged in New York and Chicago and San Francisco. Many of them have lived to this day, and they remember how they used to go to church and hear about the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin, about the hope of eternal life that God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began, about the promise that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. They remember when in church they heard the voice of Jesus Christ saying, come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. But the preachers in the pulpits came to the place where they said, you can't trust those words. You can't be sure that Jesus is the Son of God. Who knows, that story of the virgin birth is probably just somebody's invention to get people off the hook. The Bible is a book that is to be considered with interest, but you must trust your own feelings, your own social involvement. You are best and in better shape for the future when you depend upon the emergent engines within society rather than the Bible that condemns society as being inauthentic but asks us to trust the Lord. People could no longer live with a statement of Scripture that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Really, it's come to the place where religion has turned into a what they now call a New Age movement, where people say, be still and know that you are God. And it's a deifying of man and an ignoring of the heavenly Creator that made the universe. So the Darwinism affected religion, and the theologians and the thinkers and the academicians who should be ashamed of themselves, they sold out to the new views. So that even today, you can go into most churches of America looking for the bread of life, and you get nothing but a stone. You get dry human promises that have long since been belied by the circumstances of life. But many, many preachers who don't know any better are still passing out human optimism, New Age ideas, humanism as is represented by the Second Humanist Manifesto, and there's nothing there. People go to the realm of religion today asking, who can I trust? What can I believe in? What can I build my life on? And there's nothing there. The Bible says that even religious leaders will be men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And the religious establishment will become lovers of pleasure. And by the way, that is now the desperate result, the desperate quest for increasingly expensive pleasure that yields fewer and fewer returns within the life of people. Religion will become people who love a human point of view, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. And the result, of course, is already serious disillusionment. Lots of people walking the streets of America who say, yes, I used to go to the Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Pentecostal, whatever church. I used to believe that, but now I don't believe it anymore. A very famous intellectual comedian in America has just written a book, Knocking Religion, because when he was there, his dry soul was never satisfied. Well, the religion and the social disappointments of our time are already producing a kind of disillusionment which will be but the foretaste of the coming great disillusionment. You know how that's going to work? The world in the midst of temporary disillusionment, crying for answers for the future, wondering about solutions to the world's problems, the world will say, we have to have a new concept. We have to have a new way of understanding life. We have to have a new definition that give the old words new meaning. But it will finally come to the place where they say, we have to have a new leader. Because even on the leadership level, people are so confused, they change their minds every day about war and taxes and the purpose of life. We must have something solid to build our lives upon. Is that solidity going to appear? Yes, it is. It will appear in the form of a person so smart, so beguiling, with such spacious intellectual comprehension, and so convincing that he will cause the whole world to believe him when he says, I have a plan, I have a program, I have a bright design for the days to come. Follow me, and we will produce a brave new world. We will produce the dawn of a new age. Even now, a new world order is emerging before our wondering eyes. And a world disillusioned enough to believe a lie will turn to this person and his plan, and they will say, my, this is what we've been looking for so long. It's an interesting thing. A mind that used to be characterized by optimism and now is beset by partial disillusionment starts to hope against hope. There's one last maybe. One last perhaps, one last capacity in the fires that have almost burned out, a remaining glowing coal that says, maybe this could be it, the answer to the dreams that I have pursued so long. And with that last capacity to believe, the world will turn to this person and follow him and elect to be his disciples and build their lives upon his precepts for the days to come. Initially, it will look so good. Initially, the world will worship him. Initially, the world will say, his government, his religion, his divine capabilities, that's for me. But then, upon association, they get closer to this person. They realize what his designs are bringing to pass. He promises peace and safety, but suddenly something happens. Destruction comes upon the world, and this man's great promises turn the world into black despair. And that black despair is accentuated by the terrible scenes of a period of time called the Great Tribulation. Finally, that despair will be so great that the world risks the possibility of dying of despair. That's possible. But alas, in the midst of that comes the fulfillment of the words of Jesus Christ. Except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. He comes back. He sets up his kingdom. He suddenly turns the lights on in a dark world, and the world realizes during his millennial reign what they could have known had they elected to pursue him and his will rather than the delusions of this world. Don't you make that mistake. Make today the day that you choose Christ and the consequent blessed eternity that he has to offer.